There was a Rav named Rev Shalom Tuvi, and he had this minhag that after he and his family would eat the meal before the Tisha B'Av fast, he would be out the door on his way to shul, and he would always say the same comment to his kids before he left. And he would always say to them, "Im Yirtzeh Hashem, this will be the last Tisha B'Av." Year in, year out, this was what Rev Shalom Tuvi did. And one year, his daughter says to him, "Abba, are you going to say this to us every year? Im Yirtzeh Hashem, this will be the last Tisha B'Av. Like, Abba, when are you going to stop doing this?" And without missing a beat, Rav Shalom Tuvi responds to his daughter, "Im Yirtzeh Hashem, this will be the last time." I love this story because it really illustrates the indefatigable nature of a Yid. And the truth is, as it says in the Navi Zechariah, we are asirei tikva, we are bound by hope. The secret ingredient of a Yid in Galus is that we hold on to hope. There's a very interesting thing that I read in a Sefer Barabbi Lef. You're probably familiar that there are 365 mitzvos lo sa'aseh, but maybe what you had never heard of before, I know this was new to me, is that those 365 mitzvos lo sa'aseh are keneged the 365 days on the solar calendar. That means that every lo sa'aseh is paired with some day on the solar calendar. So Rabbi Lev says, which mitzvos lo sa'aseh is paired with the day on the solar calendar that Tisha B'Av falls out on? I think this year it's July 27th. So which mitzvah lo sa'aseh is connected to that date? And he says it's the lo sa'aseh, it's the isar of eating the gid hanosha. So Maha Kesher, what's the connection? What's the connection between gid hanosha and Tisha B'Av? So Rabbi Lef explains, and he says, if you recall in that story, how we got the Isser of Gid Hanasha was when the Malach was struggling with Yaakov Avinu, and he struck him in his Gid Hanasha, and that's where he got him. And many hold that the Malach represents the Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara tries to get us to sit down in despair, just throw up our hands, give up. And we know in that entire struggle, Yaakov Avinu never once sat down. Yes, he limped away, and Hashem eventually brought out the sun and healed him, but he never sat down, he never gave up. The Gid Hanasha, however, represents where the Yetzer Hara got him, where he failed, like where the Malach won. And what do we do with that Gid Hanasha, which represents Yaakov Avinu, so to speak, his failure? Well, we throw it in the garbage. We don't eat the Gid Hanasha. It's not like we put it in the freezer and we marinate it. It's not like we frame it in our living room. The Gid Hanasha, which represents failure, we throw it out. We don't focus on it. And that's the connection with Tisha B'Av. Oh my gosh, was Tisha B'Av a setback for the Jewish people? There are so many, so many sad events that happen on Tisha B'Av. And of course, the most major of them all, Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni. We lost our first and second Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av. How are Klal Yisrael going to bounce back from such setbacks? And the answer is to have the perspective that we have of the Gid Hanasha. We learn from it, but we pick ourselves up. We don't sit down in utter despair. We have a lot of hope, and we just keep moving on. My sister Eliza shared with me such a funny idea. I was laughing at this visual, but I must have been going through something in particular for this to strike me as so funny. But what it was is that, what is adulthood life like, or at least periods of our adulthood? It's like, remember when you were a kid and you were jumping on the trampoline with your friends and you fell down? And you're trying to get back up, but you can't get back up because all the kids around you are jumping. And that is what adulthood can feel like sometimes, where we fell down and we are trying so hard to get back up, and we can't do it. So whatever might be going on in our personal lives, certain setbacks, or our professional life, that there are certain struggles and certain challenges, and we just want to throw in the towel, or maybe even in our ruchnius pursuits, that we are reaching the point of despair and just wondering how can we go on. this is the message that we have this time of year, that yes, Klal Yisrael as a whole, we definitely have setbacks and we have incidents that are so hard and so challenging, but we also hold on to that hope and to that indefatigable nature of that Rav Shalom Tuvi, that Im Yirtzeh Hashem, this will be the last Tisha B'Av. We can get beyond this. We can get back up. Rabbi Victor Miller has such a beautiful idea where he talks about, by Brias HaOlam, did we ever fathom what a bracha a day is? So what do we mean? He says Hashem didn't have to divide time into days. It could have been that our entire life is just one big chunk. So what would have been the horrible thing if that would have been what the Bria was? So Rabbi Victor Miller, he says, think about it. You have a really hard day and you go to sleep at night. I know this has happened to me. And then I wake up the next morning and I say, I know I'm upset about something, but I can't remember what it was. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. But already in the light of a new dawn, it feels different. It tastes different. And I always have such optimism, never at night, never the day of, but that next morning things can be different. Things can change. And I'll let you know where that hope comes from and where that indefatigable nature comes from that a Yid has. Where does that hope come from? It comes because we believe in Hashem. There is a Sefer called Sefer Mitzvos Katan. It's known by its acronym, the SMAK, and it was written by a Rishon named Rabbi Yitzchak Mikorbiel. And it's one of the many Sfarim we have that counts what are the 613 mitzvos and then what are the halachos of those 613 mitzvos. So this may be new to you, but in those different Sfarim, they break down what the 613 mitzvos are a little bit differently. So I know this made the cut. This is one of the 613 mitzvos in the SMAK. I don't know if it made it in the Sefer HaChinuch or when the Chafetz Chaim writes what the 613 mitzvos are or the Rambam, but this definitely made it in the SMAK, that one of the 613 mitzvos is to feel hope. Now, I always knew that's a nice thing to do. It's good for my mental health, but I never thought I am fulfilling a mitzvah's aseh every time I'm feeling hopeful. So how on earth, what is the mikar of the Rabbi Yitzchak Mikorbiel that this is one of the 613 mitzvahs? And he says it's simple. It's a derivative of the first Dibra, Anochi Hashem. If you really believe in Hashem, then of course you're going to feel hopeful because nothing is beyond Hashem. Hashem can do anything. This year I taught 10th grade Historia, which is the Tkufa of the Tanaim and the Amoraim. It's the Chachamim of the Mishnah and the Gemara. And so a good emphasis of that year was on Torah Shebaal Peh, something that as women we're not perhaps as familiar with as men. And I was sharing with my students, I said to them, why is it that Torah Shebaal Peh is not written down? And I shared with them several different answers. And the most simplistic answer is because how could it be? How could it be written down? How could we fathom for every shayla that anybody will ever ask a rav and a beis din? Times change, technologies change, situations change. I was thinking about during COVID, how could we fathom a shayla about a worldwide pandemic and the government shuts down shuls and are we allowed to still have minyanim if the government doesn't allow them? Is that a chil Hashem? Is it dina de malchusa dina? Like how could we have written that down? Who could have fathomed a COVID or ChatGPT and all these AIs? Like, is that permissible? Can I come up with a 3 weeks Tisha B'Av shir for alumni using ChatGPT? Should I worry about the hallucinations of the artificial intelligence and all the sheker that could come out of such a device? Or maybe there's such wisdom that can come out. So I said this to my students, like, how can you write down? How can you fathom? So a girl raises her hand and she says, Miss Indich, nothing is beyond Hashem. Of course, if Hashem wanted it, he could make it be in that there's a way to write down all Torah Shebaal Peh. And I loved her answer. And that response will stay with me. And I said to her, you are absolutely correct. Nothing's beyond Hashem. So we focused on the other reasons why Torah Shabbal Peh is not written down, or even on this reason that maybe it could interfere with our Bechira if we know that like a worldwide pandemic is around the corner. But she is absolutely correct. I love it. That was in her Kishkas, that she knew nothing is beyond Hashem. Similarly, this happened 2 years ago in a Yahadus class. We were discussing Emuna, and I was explaining to my Talmidus what Emuna is, but what Emuna is not. And I said to them, Emuna is not that Hashem is going to do what I want, but Emuna is going to be that Hashem will do whatever's best for me. So a student raised her hand once again, and she says, Miss Indich, I completely understand that definition. She says, but at the same point, I think it's important to note that part of Emuna is knowing that even though Hashem is not necessarily going to do what I want, He's going to do what's best for me, but still I have to know that Hashem can do anything. And I think once again, Mikom Olam Dai Hiskalti, my students teach me so much more than I teach them. But that is absolutely on the nose. That is so important to know that Hashem can do anything. And so that's where our hope, that is the germination of our hope. That's where it comes from, that we know nothing is beyond Hashem. So I'm this summer preparing for a sefer that the Sabtanach students in 11th grade would like to learn. They'd like to learn Shmuel Aleph. And I started preparing Perek Aleph. And there is Chana. And she is, according to some opinions, 130 years old. So a little bit past the date that most women think they can conceive a child. And she's on the heels of her rival Penina really tormenting her. I mean, saying such insensitive comments like, oh, Chana, you're so lucky that you don't have to clean those little fingerprints on the fridge because you don't have little Kinderlach. Like these just tormenting comments that she can't even eat from the karbanos. She can't even eat the karbanos that Elkanah and her family are offering because she has no appetite. And as though things couldn't get worse, there she is in her tefillah, just eyes closed and mouth mumbling and just pouring out her heart to Hashem. And as though it's like, it can't get worse than this, right? Like this is as low as it can go. And then you have the tzaddik, the gadol hador, the kohen gadol Eli, look at you and accuse you of being shikar in the base Hashem. And oh my gosh, like, can it get any worse? And we know that it's always darkest before the dawn, because that tefillah was answered and Eli's bracha came true. And from this incident, she will have Shmuel. And by the way, she'll have four other kids as well. And so with us, there's never despair. There's never lost hope, because we have Hashem. And with Hashem, as my Talmidos point out to me, and now I will point out to all of us, with Hashem, anything is possible. So I will end with this. It is not ironic, it is not a coincidence that one of the saddest months on the Jewish calendar has the name of meaning father. We have to attach ourselves to this knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malkeinu, but He's also Avinu, and He loves us. He had that unconditional love that a parent has for a child, and Hashem is doing everything in our best interests. And Hashem can do anything, and we'll attach ourselves to this knowledge, and Emir Tzah Hashem, this will be the last Tisha B'Av.